with pain, I too am falling short of God's design. I thought I was doing well in our practice of observing the Sabbath. As I begin to get into the nuts, the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of what the Sabbath is all about, I'm discovering that I'm falling far short of what God intended. And it's a big deal. I'm deeply concerned for us as a church. People don't observe the Sabbath because of either ignorance or arrogance. And I long for the Spirit to be at work in us to remove whichever one it is for each one of us. In our study guide this week, we were looking at Genesis 1 and 2. I'm going to invite you to put your finger in that text. We've heard some of it read already for us this morning. But this morning, I'd like to also invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18, which will be our primary text for the morning. This text gives us some crucial reasons for the Sabbath. I want to use it as a banner over the series. And so let's hear the words of this text again this morning as we begin. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. He gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Pray with me as we start this morning. Lord, we confess that we have not trusted you fully. We claim to be Christians, yet we orient our lives too often around what we think is best, not what you've said. Now, as we enter this series, speak to us. Encourage us, and don't let us get away with the rationalizations that we so often use. For we do, deep, deep down inside, we do want to follow you. Because we know you are real. And to know that and live outside of your plan, well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Be gentle with us, but do not let us off the hook for Christ and his kingdom's sake. Amen. Well, most of us saw the poll on the screen. What is the main reason you observe the Sabbath? But I think you will hear a little bit about each of the answers this morning that you might have given. I'm not sure which one you checked off, but there was a number there. The one that catches me out most of the time is the second one from the end, which said, it's a means to an end. Oh, sure, at the end of the week, I'm tired, I need a break. But so often, I feel like I need a break so I can get after it again. But as I prepared this week, I've been cut to the heart over how arrogant that is. I have much to learn and much to surrender. And what I want to do is take this text and try to simplify it as best as I can. And so I've pulled out five reasons that we can pay attention to the Sabbath. So let's go through this text together and see what Moses wrote down all those years ago. Reason number one. We find it in verses 12 and 13. It's a declaration or a sign. Hear these verses again. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so you may know that I'm the Lord who makes you holy." A few things that we need to pick out of these verses. First of all, this will be a sign or a declaration between you and I, the Lord says. clearly there is a both and here. There's God's part and there's our part. So let's start with God's part. God's part was that he gave us this gift as an indicator of who he is and who we are. You see, for the Jew, their identity was all wrapped up in the keeping of the Sabbath. Abraham Heschel, a Jewish theologian, a rabbi, stated that for a Jew to forget the Sabbath was like forgetting their own identity. Sabbath is a sign to us and to the world that we belong to him. Well, that was God's part, but what's our part of the bargain? We have to play our part also. God said to us, we must observe the Sabbath. Notice that it's a command, but there's an imploring tone to it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, remarked that an imperative was an indicative with God, meaning that what God instructed us to do was an imitation of who he is. Observing the Sabbath indicates who God is and our commitment to him. Failure to observe the Sabbath, in essence, therefore, was blasphemy. It told a story of us being allied with another God. Well, the second part of the first couple of verses there says, this will be a sign for generations to come. It's a declaration for the people that will come in the future. Now, was this for God's people or for everyone in general? And my answer is yes. You see, first of all, it was a sign for God's people, those who would be followers of Jesus to come. Here's the crux of it. Observing the Sabbath was crucial, get this, was crucial for keeping the faith true. What's that mean? Well, we tend to drift in our thinking, but practices of our faith help us to keep our thinking in line with what God intended. We tend to drift in our thinking, the way that we understand the way things work, but practices will tend to or help us to keep our thinking on track. See, God's people will remain true to God in their thinking through the practice of observing the Sabbath. More on that in just a minute. But this is also a sign for those who are unbelievers. By our observing the Sabbath, we demonstrate to the world there's a different way to live. This is where Svoboda uses the term, or where it comes from, subversive. Two kingdoms, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of God, totally different foundations. But for now, the declaration of the Sabbath becomes a tool for demonstrating to the world, being a sign to the world, that there's a totally different way to live. Let me give you an illustration. I remember when I was young, in lots of ways, I disliked Sundays, especially when my grandparents were around. There just felt like there was some restrictions, no soccer, no football. And whenever I got grass stains on my knees after church, everybody knew what I'd been doing. I'm quite sure at an early age, I didn't grasp the power of the Sabbath. But friends, Sabbath is a revolutionary tool. A revolutionary tool for the formation of a society that's based on God's kingdom, not on what we've settled for. So instead of us feeling like we've gotten ripped off, hey, why can't I go shopping? Or why can't I play sports after church? Or why can't I even miss church for various things? We need to recapture the reality that this is a tool that declares there's a better way to live. It's not a restriction, but it becomes an offensive tool. Well, at the end of verse 13, God reminds us there's two things. Remember I said there was wrong thinking, or it twists or distorts our thinking? There's two things that he points out to us here that we go off track with. He says, first of all, that you may know that I am the Lord. You see, we declare, we keep the Sabbath, we observe the Sabbath so that we might declare to the future generations that he is God. We might remember that God is God and that we're not, and that everything or anyone else that we've put in his place is but a cheap imitation. Second of all, he says, and it's I who make you holy. I don't make me holy. You don't make me holy. God makes us holy. It is the Lord who makes us holy. This is the part that's rattled me this week. I know this intellectually, and you might say, well, come on, tell us something new. But I and we have a long way to go in living this out. Somehow we've gotten confused, and we think that it's the amount of work that we do for God that somehow puts us into right standing with Him. Not so, according to the practice of the Sabbath. Well, let's move on to reason number two. We see this second reason in verses 14 and 15. The second thing to glean from this text is observing the Sabbath as a discipline or a practice that shapes us. The first one was that it's a sign or a declaration. The second one is that it's a discipline. So here again, verses 14 and 15. Observe the Sabbath because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath is to be put to death. Wow. Okay, so this starts off with the word observe. What does the word observe mean? Well, in the Exodus 20 version of the Ten Commandments, we're to remember the Sabbath. That's what it says in Exodus 20. We remember all that God has done for us. In Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments, and here in Exodus 31, we're told to observe the Sabbath. There's a difference. Observe means to stand and watch. We know that. But it also means to put into practice. So this week was Canada Day and U.S. Independence Day, and many people participated in remembering and putting into practice that we remembered our history and it shaped our future. So to observe means to put into practice. Why do we see the Sabbath as something to put into practice? Because on the Sabbath, we remember what God has done. We also recognize that it's part of what makes us holy. There's that word holy again. What does that mean? Well, there are two mistakes that we make when we're talking about being holy. One, it's not our doing. You see, we're to keep the Sabbath holy, not to make it holy. God has already made the Sabbath holy, and we're to keep it holy. This means that making it holy is not our doing. It's not up to us. He's already done it. There's nothing we can do to make it holy. But our failure to observe the Sabbath or put it into practice robs it of its holiness, or said differently, paints a false picture of who God is. The second thing about holiness that we need to pay attention to here, It does not just mean being separated out. See, I think one of the things that we face is that we think that holiness means that we're called out or separated out from the world alone. That's part of it, but only a part of it. It means more than that. And most often we get ourselves into trouble by remembering that part alone. The rest of the meaning is that we're separated out or distinct from the world so that we might enter back in, to be a demonstration or a declaration, as we have already seen. This practice was so important that not observing it had such grave consequences that God's people would be put to death. Why so severe? Because God knew exactly what would happen if his people failed to put this into practice. Their thinking would be twisted, distorted, and they would start to fall in love with other gods. Let me give you a quick example of this. Do you remember when the stores were all closed on Sundays? Well, some of you are not old enough to remember that, but it was a big deal when they started opening up. First of all, they had shortened hours, and then fully open. And now, it's just like every other day. And for us, is it not true that most of us don't even think twice about shopping on a Sunday now? It's the same as every other day. So, what shaped you? What's made you think this way, where shopping is no big deal on a Sunday? And I can hear you now saying, well, what's the big deal? Friends, it's a huge deal. We become what we practice. God knew that if his people failed to observe this gift that shaped them into being his people, reminded them that he was God, not consumerism was God, then this would shape not whether they shopped on Sunday alone. It would shape their entire way of doing life. This was so crucial that to break with this meant you were severing your relationship with God and with his people. Not because it was a law and I broke the law, but because of the grave consequences of what it meant for the shaping of their lives. Here's a third reason. Third reason found in verse 16, and perhaps the most exciting thing about the church in the last number of years has been the recapturing of this next thing, or this next reason about Sabbath. Verse 16 says, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, get this, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. Svoboda quotes Marv Adon that Sabbath was about ceasing, but it's also about feasting or celebrating. In his home, he told the story in the book about every Sabbath morning they'd wake up and they'd make pancakes, blueberry pancakes with lots of blueberries. The kids were excited and looked forward to that day. You know, as much as I hated getting in trouble for playing football after church, I also, as I was growing up, I also thought about some of the good practices that I experienced as a kid and that Shelley and I have tried to instill in our home. Wonderful memories about going out with groups of friends after our gatherings to a restaurant together. Fun, friends, feasts. I was disappointed when it didn't happen. There was something about feasting that just brings out joy in people, doesn't it? Now, at that early age, I did not understand how all this fit into Sabbath. I just knew we went out for food. I just remembered it was a wonderful practice. But today, I'm learning to see how crucially important is celebrating the Sabbath and the value it has for shaping of those who are God's people. You see, first of all, we need to be reminded as we celebrate that this is a gift, not a chore, not a law. We're reminded that this is a gift that God has given to us. He's given us this day, not just because it's a day. He's given us this day so that we might enter his rest, which is a way of life. See, Sabbath is not just a day. We practice it on a day, but it's a way of life. This is not a, I'm weary at the end of the week, so I better take a day off. Although that's part of it. It's about a kind of life that is oriented around rest and relationship with him, not oriented around work. Reminds us that we're dependent on him, not stopping, ceasing, celebrating, but we celebrate who he is so that we can be fully dependent on him. I think I got a new insight into the story of Mary and Martha this week. I wonder if Martha was not in trouble because she was preparing the food, or Jesus didn't say to her, hey, Mary's chosen the better way, because Martha, you know, like somehow she was wrong for preparing food. But I can't help but wonder if she was stuck in a paradigm that she had to make things happen rather than learning to be dependent on God. You see, in our practice of the Sabbath, we need to keep encouraging one another to make Sabbath a time of celebration. We talk with each other about, first of all, on Saturday evenings, stopping. We're dependent on God. But then starting to party, starting to celebrate, starting to feast. God is in charge, and he has done well for millions of years without us and will likely do well after we're gone. But we are invited to throw a party, and we're invited to remember all that he's done for us during the week. It's a feast with a focus on Jesus. Well, here comes reason number four. It's found in verse 17. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Sounds kind of like the first one in a way, like verse 13, but it has a different emphasis here. The Sabbath will be a sign, I'm going to use the word covenant here also, that it was the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, and then he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath is a sign or a covenant because it is about who God is. You see, it describes who he isn't. We covered some of these in a series a number of years ago, but I think it's good for us to be reminded very briefly about it. You see, our God is not a slave driver. You know that there are other creation stories. Other faiths, other cults have creation stories, and particularly back in the days of the Israelites, there were all kinds of competing creation narratives, but the difference was their creation stories had gods who made human beings to be slaves for the gods, to accomplish work for the gods. Our story, Yahweh creates us in his image because he delights in us and he wants to invite us into his rest and relationship with him. He didn't create us to work. He created us to be with him. Now we work. He's given us the responsibility of being stewards, but that's not the point. The point is to be in relationship with him. As Craig said earlier in that liturgical reading that we read, we also came to see that God didn't create bad things. He only created what was good. The seventh day, Svoboda brings this out in the first chapter. The seventh day of creation was the pinnacle, not the afterthought, not, oh dear, I'm tired, I better take a day off. No, all of creation, all the first days pointed towards day seven. Well, it describes who he is, not just who he isn't. It describes the fact when it says that it'll be a sign between God and his people forever that he is faithful. He is faithful to his people through these covenants. He's the one we can depend on. He will never break his word. He can't. He's faithful in all things. And because he's faithful, therefore, we can put our trust in him. Sabbath is about building trust with the Lord. We can rest in knowing that he's in charge. He will deliver. We never have to doubt whether God will come through. Perhaps he doesn't come through the way we want, but he always comes through in the way that's best for us and for the kingdom. And we also notice in verse 17 that he's eternal. Well, we need to close. Here's the fifth reason, and I'm just going to briefly mention this because I think it sets the scene for the whole of the rest of the series. Look at verse 18 with me just for a minute. Where is Moses when God is giving him these instructions? Yep, up on Mount Sinai. What's he been doing? Meeting with God for 40 days as God gives him the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. Why is verse 18 so important? Listen to it again. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. See, friends, these are the final words of God before Moses goes back down from the mountain to the people. Final words are always important. It seems to be that there's something very crucial in these words, very important about observing the Sabbath, as if keeping all of the law is influenced by how we practice this one day. See, in the Ten Commandments, the first three or four are, number four is a bit of a hinge commandment. The first three are about God and our worship of him. The next six after it have to do with how we relate to others. But the observing of the Sabbath helps us to keep God in his right place and helps us to think about others in a way that's consistent with the kingdom of God. The author makes the point that the law is never about keeping the law, but rather about experiencing life to the fullest. Sabbath, or observing the Sabbath, was never meant to be a law that restricted us from doing the things we wanted to do and made us religious. It was a gift. It was a gift given to us that we might experience life to the fullest as God had always intended it to be. Our task during this series and then beyond is to learn to trust him through observing the Sabbath. It's not just the practice of a day. It's the practice of a day so that our entire lives will be reoriented around a total commitment to him. It's the practice of a day so that our lives are reoriented so that we will declare to the world that he is Lord and fully trustworthy. Sabbath is not a law, but a revolutionary tool for a revolutionary people who turn the world upside down by the way that we live, a radical kingdom life that reorients the world around God's rule and reign. May we learn to observe the Sabbath, for it is a gift to us that is holy. Bless you as we go about the summer.